Mark Pankratz joins us a little bit later this half hour. Right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. What's up for grabs this evening?
$25 gift card to Proper Popcorn. Now, it's a classic concept reimagined. You can choose from over 50 handcrafted small batch popcorn flavor combinations. You can create your perfect popcorn treat. It's a perfect place for a family outing, a date night, or getting a gift for a loved one. Impress your coworkers or business associates with a unique gift that they'll actually want. $25 gift card to Proper Popcorn, if you can answer this trivia question. Aaron Rodgers just had his 60th game where he had a 300-yard passing game and at least two touchdown passes. There are three other quarterbacks that have had more 300-yard passing games and at least two touchdowns in the same game. Name the three. Aaron Rodgers, fourth on the list for the most 300-yard, two-plus touchdown passes in a game. Name the three ahead of him on the NFL list.
656-9900, 656-9900. We start with Keith. Hello, Keith.
Well, I would have to be first, wouldn't I?
Well, you called first.
Well, I guess that makes it sensible, then. well, okay. Brett Favre, John Elway, and my man, Peyton Manning.
You got one right. You finished strong.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
You too, Keith. Thank you very much. Let's go next to Andrew. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well. And you?
I'm doing all right. I'd like to guess Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady.
You nailed it. That's it.
Wow.
And the order is Brees has 97, Brady 84, Manning 70, and then Aaron Rodgers with 60, as we mentioned. Those are 300-yard passing games with at least two touchdown passes. Hey, Andrew, congratulations. You won a $25 gift card to Proper Popcorn. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Well done. And that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6.
Yes. And John, I was talking to somebody earlier. There had been a survey about the transfer portal and about how people that enter the transfer portal, the impact that they have. So this person told me of the many players that were in the transfer portal that went to Power 5 schools, only 28% made an impact. 28%. I thought, okay. Now, I don't know if that counts grad transfers, because I guess grad transfers go in the portal too, maybe. So I'm not sure if there's a distinction between the two. Anyway, he said 28% make an impact Power 5. So you really can't rely on that if you're a college program. So I thought, okay, let's go look up Tennessee's list. They had 10 transfers that includes grad transfers and the transfer portal. And you know what? Three of them made an impact this year. Hendon Hooker, Chase McGrath, the place kicker, Devontae Payton, the receiver. That's it. The other seven did not. Now, I thought that was pretty interesting. Right after he told me that, I thought, let me go research this. The research backed it up, at least for Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other programs that probably hit at a higher rate. There are probably some other programs that hit at a lower rate. But his point to me was you cannot just rely on the transfer portal to plug in because you don't have a high success rate typically among Power 5 schools.
Yeah, and at the same time, I would imagine that there would be the potential that the impact would be on par with what you would get if you were looking at a similar number of players from the high school ranks.
Yeah.
And that's just because you don't always get the impactful players that you think you're getting, and some may surprise you. Some that you might not have been counting on, all of a sudden the light goes on for them, and boom, they're doing something pretty special before the end of the season. So I just think that, yeah, that's something. And I don't think anybody's just going to look at the portal and say, we're going to get 25 of them.
Tennessee had 10 last year. I expect that number to be much less this year. I think 5 to 7
mm-hmm.
would be in the ballpark. But then it's hard to say because we don't know all of the players that are going to decide to leave.
Correct.
Like Hendon Hooker or Cade Mays or a multitude of others. So that could certainly impact how many folks Tennessee recruits out of the transfer portal.
Could very well. Come on. John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to Mark Pankratz as he joins us for the rest of the show. His appearance brought to you by Gambooza's Barbershop. Men belong at Gambooza's Barbershop. Make your appointment online at gambooza'sbarbershop.com.
And Mark Pankratz joining us. Mark, how you doing?
I am doing great, guys. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving.
We did. Hope you did as well. I do want to ask you this. So we have seen Santiago Vescovi be pretty consistent to this point. What do you like most about his game right now? Vescovi.
I like his leadership. I like his shot selection. He has improved defensively. I still think, I know Coach Barnes talks about how he's improved and how he thinks he's a really good defensive player. I think that's one of the areas that he's struggled, but I think he's improved. I think he's helping the young guys get in spots and leading through some more challenging moments. And then obviously when he's knocking down shots, he just adds a layer to the game that is definitely needed. But his leadership is definitely been important for this team as they try to create their new identity.
We've seen signs of improvement from Brandon Hundley Hatfield. What do you think of his game so far?
Gosh, I hope he develops. It's kind of the catch 22, right? You hope he continues to develop at the rate that he is capable. I mean, he was a huge difference in that Tennessee Tech game. Finished at a couple different layers and different moves around the basket. But also, you don't want to develop too fast because, gosh, he's got so much potential. He can he could really rise into those draft boards, and then he's gone. You know, but opportunity to be a great, great player. He's strong. He understands and the mismatch. I mean, they went back to him, I think, three possessions in a row against Tech. And he's learning how to use his body and his strength. And the biggest thing is Barnes, for any of these players, if he can learn these defensive schemes, how to defend ball screens, how to rotate and help defense, it's going to be hard to keep him off the floor because he is so talented.
What did you think about the game against Tech when you consider that this was a team that with a three at the end of the first half had the lead going into the second half, and it just really wasn't the sharpest effort for Tennessee in the first 20 minutes, but they came out and got things under control in the second half. What were your overall takeaways from their game Friday?
Well, one, I was happy that the game stayed close, so my daughters didn't want to leave early, which kept me out of Black Friday shopping even longer.
Nice.
So that was a positive. You know, Pelfrey, you watch that team and you're like, gosh, how did they get smoked by some of those teams earlier in the season? Because they've got some athletes, they've got some talent. You know, the three ball is a separator, and they were making shots, some deep ones. Tennessee obviously was not making any threes, you know, but Tennessee, if they're not getting, there is such a fine line in a guy's ability if they're not playing with the same level of urgency. And Barnes talked about their preparation wasn't where he wanted it. They just lacked that little bit of an edge. There was guys over dribbling, which just led to some turnovers, you know, and they were playing more outside in that first half. And when you're not making three balls, it shows. And in the second half, Fulkerson, Brandon, as you mentioned, the interior guys, Olivier even made a big three. The interior stepped up and separated themselves. But there's a lot of learning that's going on right now with some, I think almost 50% of the points are being scored by freshmen. And they're just learning, and I'd much rather be learning while you're winning than taking an L. But that was a moment or a game I'm sure Barnes used to help these guys continue to learn.
And then you've got this game before you head out on the road. They're going to be gone for about a week. When you do have that in front of a team that you know you're going to go out west to Colorado, then you're going to come back through New York and Madison Square Garden to take on Texas Tech. Is it easy to perhaps maybe look past an opponent like Presbyterian tonight?
I think it would have been a lot easier if they would have went out and smoked Tennessee Tech. But I think because they didn't play well, it bodes well for them being more focused this evening. But when you look out at the schedule in Colorado and Texas Tech, it starts to get real pretty quick. But that's where I think Barnes is really good about teaching these guys how to prepare and you know, Barnes will tell you, I mean, that's, he doesn't watch a bunch of tape on the opponents. He watches tape on Tennessee and on their team and these guys preparing just day in, day out on how to play the game. And I think when you focus that way and your preparation is on controlling what you can control, you're more laser focused for every opponent and not get caught up in who you're playing. But they'll get through tonight. They'll beat Presbyterian. And then it starts to get fun for not only the players, but for us fan base as we continue to watch them go up against some quality opponents.
Mark, we've talked about Kennedy Chandler's scoring. We've talked about his passing. He had five steals against Tennessee Tech. What does that say about his defensive abilities?
Well, and he had he's had a couple big blocks and in decent moments too. And so he's like, you know, if you remember J.P. Prince, right? J.P. Yeah. Prince was not a really good defender, but he would make he would trick you into getting into passing lanes. He would get up and block shots. You know, and Kennedy's just got that knack for the ball. You know, a lot of deflections or a lot of steals are around being in the right place off the ball and being prepared for when that rotation comes, you're not behind. And Kennedy does a really good job of tracking things down in transition, keeping active hands on the ball. And I think part of that has to do with probably being up against good competition in practice day in, day out with Ziegler, because he's just as good, if not better, with his on-ball defense. And it shows both with Kennedy's activity on the ball and then when Ziegler gets in.
Josiah Jordan James has been out for a while. What is Tennessee missing without him on the court?
Rebounding, without a doubt. I mean, he's got leadership, which people have talked about, that experience. But at the end of the day, he can rebound and he can switch defensively and guard multiple positions. Offensively, you know, look, the games that he was in, he wasn't really doing much, wasn't knocking down shots, despite Barnes saying how much he's improved in the offseason in his three-point shooting. But the biggest thing that he adds is versatility defensively. And then with him in the game, you've got a lot more confidence in the ability to rebound the basketball, especially as you start prepared for, as John mentioned, the Colorados, the Texas Techs, the Arizonas, the Texases. They're going to need rebounding.
Tennessee 13-1 poll, 15 in the coaches poll. Do you think that's adequate? That's where they should be?
You know, I'd be lying if I said I've, you know, seen all those different teams that that are ranked ahead of them. I think by the end of the year, that's about right. I think right now that feels to me a little bit high. But, you know, I think they've definitely got a chance to be a Sweet 16 level team, and that's about where they're ranked right now. I think by the end of the year, they'll be much better. But based off their roster, I think it's a fair ranking.
What was your reaction to Iona's win over Alabama?
You know, it's you're not surprised because of Pitino, because of their quality guard play. You know, Pitino's just got that. There's something about it when you say that name. It makes you feel a certain way. And he's a great coach. You know, I'm all about second or third chances in his case. But, you know, he's a great basketball coach that's just going to continue to win games as long as he's coaching.
What would you like to see out of Victor Bailey Jr.?
Continue to focus on the defense, be a ball hawk. I would love for him to, on offense, to turn down shots when they're contested at all, shot fake, drive it, get to the foul line. But the thing about that makes him really good is he's got that Lamonte Turner mentality. I think Vescovi has that as well, to where it don't matter if he's missed 20 shots in a row, he feels like the next one's going in. And so you don't want to take that away from him. but I think sometimes he over dribbles and or doesn't understand the moment of the game, the game flow of when he takes some of his shots, which can lead to adding on to a team's run to get back into the game or to extend their lead.
Would you like to see Zakiya Ziegler and Kennedy Chandler on the court more, or do you think that just depends on the matchup or the flow of the game?
Depends on matchup and flow. I love the defensive pressure that that puts on opponents. I'm not concerned necessarily about the lack of height at, you know, the 1 through 3 because, so many teams now are playing 4, if not 5 guards out there. But I love what it does for our defensive pressure. I love what it does for our pace. And if they're both knocking down the 3-ball, you can't keep those guys out of the paint. And so now it just it extends it opens up so much opportunity on the perimeter because those guys can get into space. They got to draw attention defensively, and then you're going to kick it open for wide open looks. And they're both good interior passers as well. You've seen them spoon feed big guys for wide open dunks. So I love the versatility that this roster has with those 3 and even 4 guard lineups.
Mark, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for squeezing us in, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
No problem, guys. Have a great rest of your evening.
You as well. And that is Mark Pankratz joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Gambusa's Barbershop. Men belong here. GambusasBarbershop.com is where you can set up your appointment. That's GambuzzaS Barbershop.com. That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk. And tomorrow, we'll be with you at Double Dogs on Kingston Pike. Tennessee basketball's next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.